Come ye sinners, lost and lonely, Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst among you, when he saved a wretch like me. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
To the faint he giveth power, through the mountains make a way, findeth water in the desert, turn the night to golden day.
And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. In temptation he is near thee, holds the powers of hell at bay, guides you to the path of safety, gives you grace for every day. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Enjoyed that. Thank you so much, people, for the good singing tonight on that subject especially. Luke 22 in your Bible, Luke chapter 22, and give you just a second to find that passage, Luke 22, and I'm going to begin reading with you in just a moment here in verse number 14. So find that good chapter. Thank you for being here tonight. This is a wonderful time for us as we gather around what we know is the table of the Lord. And do this about four times a year. And so we're anxious to get into it. Let's stand together. And we're going to follow along. I'm not going to read all the verses that I will use tonight in the message. Let me start with verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Let's drop down to verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Father, we just heard a wonderful song about the power of the blood of your Son. And now we come around this table tonight to remember his body and his blood, which was given for us and shed for us. And all that the Lord asked for us to do was remember that, not forget it. So we look to you tonight for help during these moments. So Lord, refresh our hearts, make us real again in our thinking, draw us back to Calvary, in Christ's name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated. We are not under any mandate biblically as to how often we are to observe the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper. Paul said he received a direct revelation from the Lord concerning how often a church should hold this ordinance. And all Paul said was, as often as you do it. So he left it up to the local New Testament church. How often do you want to do it? That's good. Now, the church decides that matter. I really believe in the book of Acts, I believe God's people observed it every day. I really do. For a period of time. Possibly as part of their meal, maybe at the end of their meal, they would eat some bread and drink some juice specifically to remember Christ's sacrifice on Calvary. But when you read through the book of Acts, it talks about the breaking of bread on a daily basis. And I believe it was Spurgeon, don't quote me, but I believe it was Spurgeon who said he might have even practiced at his church in England, observing the Lord's Supper every Sunday. So it's really up to the choice of the local church. And when I got here, it was observed four times a year. I saw no reason to change that or alter it. But we do try to be strict in observing the Lord's table four times a year. I think if you're not careful, it's something that will pass over. It'll get out of your mind and you won't think about it. And I think our hearts need what this table offers us tonight. Now, in our passage tonight, beginning with verse number 14, when the hour was come, so the hour of the Passover meal was upon them, and the Bible says that Jesus sat down with His 12 disciples. And then in verse number 15, I love it, because we're exposed here, exposed to the heart of God a little bit in verse 15, and He, Jesus, said unto them, those men, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Parentheses, fellowship. That's what I preached about this morning. Fellowship is vitally important to the Lord. Vitally important to God. This is an amazing thing to me. You think on that for just a moment. Jesus is God, and God manifest in the flesh, and perfect in holiness, full of wisdom, full of grace and truth, and He desires to eat around a table with common men, fishermen, a tax collector, others, men who were not perfect in holiness, men who were not perfect in wisdom, men who lacked grace and truth. It's just amazing to me to even think that God desires that close of a fellowship with us. I have longed to come to here with you. I don't, folks, I don't think it's any less in the heart of God to fellowship with you and me. I really believe that with all of my heart. That full fellowship that I talked about this morning, that open fellowship, leads to that full joy that we can experience according to 1 John. And you see a little bit of the heart of God here about His attitude toward people, common people, just people. Hey, we are His creation. And He does love us. And He desires fellowship with us. And Jesus exposed us to that a little bit here in what He said in verse number 15. Now, they are eating this meal as a remembrance of the Passover. So give me your mind for a little bit and let's go back and remember, okay? When an Israelite wanted to remember God as the Deliverer, God as the Savior, God as the Redeemer, he always went back to the deliverance from bondage in Egypt. You know, no matter that the Jewish person might have been, you know, generations or centuries or even a millennium removed from the Exodus, when he wanted to have a point of reference to think of God as Deliverer, as Savior, as Redeemer, he always went back to the Exodus, the Passover. That's what he remembered. That was their point of reference. And by the way, it still is today. The Orthodox Jews still observe the Passover, and they remember their deliverance from Egypt. Not them personally, but their people delivered from the land of Egypt. You remember that time period. In Israel's history, over 400 years of oppression. Folks, that's longer than the United States of America has been in existence. 400 years of oppression, 400 years of bondage, 400 years of slavery. Now you think about this, an entire nation of people living as captives in a foreign land. They're in bondage. No other nation is coming to their rescue. Deliverance from an army from a superpower is not going to happen. They are without hope as a people. Their children are without hope. Their grandchildren are without hope because their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren are born into slavery. They're born into bondage. They are not a free people. They have no hope of being elected to a government office in the land of Egypt. They have no hope of starting a business. They have no hope of creating a company. They have no hope of immigrating to another country where they might be free. They wake up in the morning. They slave away all the hours of the day. They come home exhausted. They eat a meal. They go to sleep at night and they wake up to start the process all over again. 400 years. Wonder how many Israelites were born, lived, and died in bondage. Now you think about that. God heard their cry. That's what He told Moses. I've heard their cries. God saw their condition. So God sends Moses, one of them, to lead them out. But Moses can't physically deliver the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. He can't lead an army to overthrow their captivity. So God initiates the Passover. And the perfect lamb is slain. And the blood is put on the lintel and the doorpost. And the angel of death, the angel of the Lord, passes over through the land of Egypt. And He pauses at every door. And if the blood is on the door, that door is passed over. But if there is no blood on the door, the angel takes the life of the firstborn child. And at midnight, the Egyptian people, now it's their turn to cry. And they're crying and they're wailing and they come to the Israelites and they say, get out of here. Move. Get gone. Just leave. Our children are dead. And so they say, you know, here, take your herds, take your flocks, take your possessions, take your children. Here's some jewelry. Here's some money. Just get out of our land. Go. And the Israelites march out of Egypt without firing a shot, without brandishing a weapon. But Pharaoh has a change of heart, a change of mind, you know that. And standing at the bank of the Red Sea, here comes the Egyptian army. No doubt they are seething with hatred. Their children are dead. They're hateful. What does God do for His people? He makes a way through the sea. He drowns the enemy in the sea. Israel is free. After 400 years, in one night, they go from bond slave to free man. One night, called the Passover. So when they thought about God as their Savior, as their Deliverer, as their Redeemer, they always went back to that night. That was their point of reference. Oh yes, you know, after that, God proved Himself the Deliverer over and over again. He delivered the children of Israel out of difficult times. But their point of reference as a people was the Passover. That meal, that's what they did. That's why they had the Passover. Because it reminded them of the Exodus and coming out of the land of Egypt and being delivered, redeemed, and set free by God Almighty. So this is the setting. This is where Jesus is sitting with these 12 men, and in their mind, their point of reference about freedom, about God their Deliverer, God their Savior, God their Redeemer, is all the way back how many thousand years ago now to that night in the land of Egypt. Look what Jesus says in verse 19. And He took bread, and He gave thanks and broke it, and gave unto them, saying, this is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you. So at this Passover meal, the time that is set aside to remember God, their Deliverer, their Savior, their Redeemer, to remember that holy night, that precious night when God set the children of Israel free, Jesus takes the bread and He takes the cup. that's used in the Passover meal, and he makes a transition. He says, this bread is a picture of my body, which is given for you. This cup is a picture of my blood, which is shed for you. Given for you, shed for you. From now on, when you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you're not going to go back to Egypt. You're not going to go back to the Passover lamb. You're not going to go back to the night when God took the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. From now on, when you eat this bread and when you drink this cup, you are going to remember me. This is a new point of reference. Christ became the point of reference for them when they wanted to remember God is their deliverer, God is their Savior, God is their Redeemer. Jesus said, from now on, it's this bread and this cup, this bread picturing my body, this cup picturing my blood. I am now your point of reference. And people, when you and I, some 2,000 years now removed from this time, when we look back at a point of reference, when we look at the great redemptive point in history, we don't go back to Egypt. We don't go back to the doorpost and the lintel. We don't go back to the blood of a bunch of lambs. We go back to Calvary, to the blood of the Lamb of God shed on the cross. We don't look back to a picture of God's redemption. No, no, no. We look back to the person of God's redemption. And that changed on this night. That changed on this night we just read about right there. On that cross, Jesus provided for us deliverance from bondage. You see, we weren't in slavery like the Israelites were. It was worse for you and me. We were bond slaves to sin. We were born into that bondage. Our kids are born into that bondage. Our grandkids are born into that bondage. On and on it goes. No human effort could change that. No human accomplishment could change that. No human sacrifice could change that. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent His Lamb, one of us, but not one of us, made like unto us. And Jesus went to the cross, gave His body, shed His blood, and He died there. And now for us and our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids and for anybody who will trust in what Christ did on Calvary, we are freed from the bondage of sin. We're free people tonight. Not just nationally as Americans. We're a free people tonight from the bondage and slavery of sin. We're a free people, and our point of reference that reminds us of that freedom is not all the way back to the land of Egypt and Pharaoh. Our point of reference for our freedom is a couple thousand years ago when God proved His love with three pieces of wood and three nails and two pieces of wood, and Jesus hung on that cross and died there in our place. That is our point of reference. That is what Jesus said. This is a reminder to us of God the Deliverer. This is a reminder of us of God to us for a reminder of God the Savior. This is a reminder to us of God the Redeemer. This is a reminder to us that we have been set free. No wonder Miriam, when they saw the dead bodies of the Egyptians floating in the Red Sea, no wonder she grabbed a tambourine and started playing the tambourine, and the children of Israel broke out into song. Brother, when you as a people were in bondage for over 400 years, and in one night you've gone from bond slave to free man, that would put a song in your heart. That would put some praise to God on your lips. It's no wonder that whole crowd of people began to sing that song of deliverance. You know, it's no wonder we once in a while crack our hymn book and have the opportunity to sing, I have a song I love to sing since I have been redeemed of my Redeemer, Savior, King, since I have been redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. We're free tonight. And our point of reference is this right, is what this represents right here. You know what's sad for the Jew? What's sad for the Jew today who still has his point of reference back in the land of Egypt? He has to walk right past the cross on the timeline to get to deliverance from the land of Egypt. Right past it. Blind to it. Veil. Blinded. Walks right past it. Has to go further back in the timeline of history to come to their point of deliverance, their point of reference concerning their deliverance. And you know what's sad for the church member today, the Christian in this day and age? We're simply too busy looking forward. We are caught up in the things of this life. We're caught up in our job and in our family and in our vacations and in our investing and in our recreation and in our sports. We're too busy with the cares of this life to remember our point of reference. The point of reference is the cross of Calvary. And that's why God gave this ordinance to the local New Testament church. What Jesus was saying is, look, what He's told Paul, you tell the church that however often they feel like it's necessary to observe the Lord's table, tell them to do it. But just make sure they do it. Don't go too long without thinking about your point of reference. Take some time to remember the cross. Take some time to remember Christ. It's because of Him that you're free tonight. And without that, we're in bondage to sin. That's the purpose of this supper. This ordinance tonight will not make you saved. This ordinance will not set you free from sin. This ordinance will not take you to heaven. It does not wash away your sin. This ordinance is a reminder about our point of reference. And it's not 4,000 years ago. It's about 2,000 years ago over there outside of Jerusalem on a cross, where the Lamb of God was slain for the sins of the world. That's what this is for tonight, church. Jesus transitioned from that point of reference to this one right here. When you eat that bread, which is a picture of My body given for you, and when you drink that cup, which is a picture of My blood shed for you, remember Me. I am your point of reference for your deliverance from bondage. Amen? That's why He gave us this thing. Don't miss the opportunity tonight. Don't waste it. And by the way, you don't have to wait to the Lord's table to spend a little time in your mind and heart thinking about the cross. Let this ordinance jumpstart your week. Maybe throughout the coming week, you'll find yourself thinking, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My point of reference, Calvary's cross. Father in heaven, we thank You for this ordinance. I thank You for what it means to individuals. I thank You for what it means, Lord, about our deliverance from bondage, the bondage of sin. Oh, when we were in bondage to sin, we were the servants of sin. That's what Paul said. But Lord, thank You for the precious blood, the body of Jesus, which bore our sins to the tree. And for the blood of Jesus, which was shed on the tree, the body which was given for us, the blood shed for us. Our hearts rejoice in that tonight. And Lord, may we not veer too far away from our point of reference, the precious cross of Calvary. Make it real to our hearts tonight as we observe this supper in a special way, Lord. Make it a wonderful time for us to remember Christ. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You know your heart, the condition your heart needs to be in to come to a table like this at this time. And I open up the altar for just a few minutes as the ladies play a song of invitation. You come tonight if you want to, or you do business with the Lord there in your heart. This is your point of reference. This is a reminder of your point of reference, which is the cross of Calvary.